This is Wine and Dine in LA with Anush, where I talk about wine in a fun and approachable way and bring you all insights of the world of wine. Welcome back to our episode on Wine and Dine in LA with Anush. My guest today is Mariam. She's traveling all the way from Armenia. And I was going to go into the next topic of our conversation. But I think before going into that, Mariam, why are you visiting LA? We're happy to have you. But I know that there is a purpose to be here.
So in general, I love visiting LA because I see a lot of my friends, family, everyone here. Currently, I'm also here promoting our wines, Trinity Wines. We're doing a few events. We did one at the Vintage Wine Bar, and now we plan to do one at The Stage, which is also part of our little divine group, including the club, Trinity, Invino, Tapastan, the Ranch Market, Malaga Cove Ranch Market. All of these are included in our little group of friends. We call it the D-Vine group, like Vine. And so we hope to do it at The Stage as well very soon, and we'll keep you updated. Also, I just wanted to check out the wine scene, so I am planning a trip to Napa as well. Mm-hmm. I can get a lot of inspiration from there, you know. I plan on visiting very, very soon.
Wonderful. For the event at The Stage, what type of an event is it going to be, and is it open to public, and how can they find out more information?
Everyone can follow our Facebook page. We usually post updates there, so the Trinity Canyon Vineyards Facebook page. And The Stage will probably do a flight of wines, white, rosé, and two red wines, including a meat and cheese platter or just a cheese platter, depending on you know, what pairs well with the wines. And it'll be open to public with reservations. So hope to do that very soon.
Excellent. So, yep, for all the listeners, follow Mariam's page, the winery page on Facebook, and then you can come and taste their delicious wines. We had a very successful event at the Vintage in Studio City. So many people came to meet the family, to try the wines, and it was an amazing event, and I'm sure this one is going to be equally as wonderful. Talking about the divine, you said it's a group of divine, so brings me actually, like, smoothly transfers us to the next part of the conversation, in Vino Wine Bar, and how did you decide to start that, and how difficult was that?
So that started on December 30th in 2012, and it took quite a few months.
So the winery was already going?
The winery was already going.
Yeah.
The club was there since 2004.
The restaurant. Mm-hmm.
And one of the founders of both Trinity and the club, Vaheb Alulian, he gave me and our other partner this opportunity of actually creating a wine bar in Yerevan. And his excuse was, like, I want to work with the younger generation, you know, because, you know, everyone else is getting old and, you know. But jokes aside, he gave us this opportunity to actually create this interesting wine scene. And his reasoning was that there was no place in Armenia where you can just go have a glass of wine, learn about the wine, enjoy the wine in the correct temperature, correct glass, correctly stored. So that's when the idea of Invino came about. And there are many, many Invinos everywhere. But the idea just came from the fact that you're surrounded by wine, Invino. Mm-hmm. And also there's the Latin phrase, in vino veritas, in wine there is truth. And I believe that to be true, actually, because, you know, after a few glasses or bottles of wine, you know, you can't...
The truth comes out.
In any case, the idea was beautiful because the wines were there. We have currently we have over 1,000 wines from almost all over the world.
Wow.
I keep correcting myself because I know there's still so much wine world to discover. And so all these wines around the world with over 20 wines by glass, which change almost every day. and wine tastings, wine education, just teaching people how to drink wine, giving them a taste of a bunch of different wines, helping them, you know, kind of with their palate, so to actually, you know, have a better palate when it comes to wine. So that's when the idea of InVino started, and it's located on Sarian Street, and currently there are, we have many neighbors. One of them is also Tapastan, because InVino is just a wine bar where you can get some charcuterie, some cheese, some salami, and wine. Tapastan, we opened that a few years later because we realized people wanted food, but we didn't want to do the Armenian...
What is the name for?
Tapas? Yeah. Tapastan. Hayastan is Armenia, so tapas, the Spanish tapas, which is a style of food, like in Italy
small
they have
bites.
The bruschettas, small bites, etc. And stan because it's an Armenian version. And everyone would, like old Armenian language professors would come by and they'd be like, you guys spelled tapastan wrong. Tapastan means desert. So no, this is correct. This is tapastan, house of tapas. And currently we have a menu with tapas and anti-tapas because, you know, you have people who want just like, you know, a huge crazy steak, and we have that as well. It's actually quite delicious. And Tapastan has the largest wine selection because InVino is the, let's say, seller for Tapastan. So same prices, same wines. And slowly but surely, again, Sarian Street became this wonderful place where it's kind of in the center. It was kind of in the center, but was kind of out of the immediate center. But now we know a lot of people come there. We have a lot of great neighbors, a lot of various restaurants, which is great because it used to be like a dead street with like, and people wouldn't even, you know, cross that street to get to their own house.
Talking about that street, and when you just opened, what was the response?
We opened there because we realized that only people who really loved wine would take their time to just, you know, go a little bit out of the way and come to us. And of course, all of the people, because we import wine, we also work with all of the distributors that that are available in Armenia. So they would say, oh, you're going to fail, this is not going to work, nobody in Armenia drinks wine, which was true. If you look at the current numbers, of course, more people are drinking wine, but there's always competition between brandy, beer, vodka, etc. So that was kind of crazy, because you were going to fail. Hearing that from the people who you want to work with, whose wine you want to sell, was very intimidating, but we knew what we were doing. The idea was kind of a pure idea. It was in our hearts, and we just wanted to create this culture, and as of today we're continuing to do so. And last year it was kind of a setback because, unlike the United States, Armenians like to consume wine in public with their friends, and because of COVID people were not allowed to do so. And then the war happened and nobody really had the heart to drink wine, although we did have a lot of meetings. You know, we would meet, we would discuss things, we would see how we can help the front during the war at InVino. So I feel like this was like a very important getting together place at the time. So wine really helps conversations flow. Wine is like a medium of you know, just connecting people. People would sit at InVino, one table and another table, hey, would you like to try some of our wine? And they try each other's wine and they get to meet each other. We have had people, you know, get engaged and married at InVino after meeting there. So that's very beautiful. But it was very small. The space was very small. And in 2020, again, we decided to kind of enlarge the space. Unfortunately, that didn't go as planned. But we did happen to actually enlarge the space, make it a little bigger. So if you ever happen to visit InVino, make sure to check out the new space. This way we can do more relaxed wine tastings, and we have more space for people to sit inside when it's winter, because, you know, it gets really cold. It's currently like, you know, 3 degrees Celsius or something. Ooh. There, so yeah. It's pretty cold.
And inside you had before sitting for maybe 15 people or more?
I would say like we would seat about 25 people in the tiny space. It's very, yeah, because people were very cozy there. And you know,
they didn't mind close to each other.
Yeah, our guests did not mind at all, because it was better for them, better. And you know, you're in a safe atmosphere. So that was great. And now we have almost double the space and a great place for wine tastings. So I can't wait to go back and do a bunch of wine tastings, try some new wines. There are new wines coming out every day, and I'm so jealous. I just want to go back and try all of them and help people, you know, know more about these wines.
You said something that really like caught my attention. You said that you were trying to create a culture. I think besides you creating the culture, you like created a whole movement, because from the In Vino, you know, it's this movement of people drinking wine, appreciating wine, because you also not only provided a safe space and good quality of wines, but you also provided educational classes.
Mm-hmm.
You have series of Meet the Winemaker. How do you think that have changed the perspective of those who weren't into the wine, who got really into the wine, and mm-hmm. maybe they want to continue and maybe study, like, you know, or pursue their careers in the wine?
That has actually happened with a lot of our staff members, because mm-hmm. they realize that once they come here, it's kind of a stepping stone for them, and we're proud of that. One of our staff members started working in our winery. Another one started to work at the Vine and Wine Foundation. A bunch of others, you know, they continued their education in wine. So that's great, because we do lack knowledgeable staff in general regarding wine, knowledgeable people in the wine industry, in the wine sector. And I myself, actually, when In Vino first opened, I was only like reading books. My first wine book was, you know, The Wine for Dummies.
I was going to say, was it Wine for Dummies?
Yeah, literally.
It's a wonderful book.
I know.
It has, maybe the title can be a little bit
off-putting.
Off-putting, yeah. But I think it has great information. It's easy to read, easy to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And I recommend it to lots of people who want to, you know, easy way to get to the subject.
Mm-hmm. So I would read a lot of these books. I would read a bunch of books. And then at one point, just, you know, I think it was fate. I stepped into my dad's office one day and I saw a brochure, Evian Wine Academy enrollment. And I was like, okay, what is this? And it was literally the next day was the deadline. The next day was the deadline. And I decided to apply for it, because I can always use more knowledge. Because if someone tells you that they know everything about wine, they are lying. Because there are so many wines emerging everywhere. And, you know, you cannot possibly know everything. And cultures are changing.
Yeah.
You know, the way wine served are changing. So it's a huge world there. And it's all culture. It's philosophy. It's culture in one bottle. And the work that goes behind it all, that's kind of, you know, crazy to think about it. And we started teaching people to appreciate what is inside the bottle, not just because it's, you know, fermented grape juice, because that's what wine is, but actually the culture, the philosophy and everything, the history behind each vintage and all that. But besides that, after studying in the Evian Wine Academy, I was one of the first graduates of the Evian Wine Academy. I am now teaching there. I'm teaching wine business, which is an honor to be teaching there and, you know, giving people a perspective, a real perspective in the wine industry, because everyone is like, okay, I'll just go make some wine.
Mm-hmm.
And as I've heard this quote over and over again, and I keep saying it to myself, you have to have a larger fortune elsewhere to make a small fortune in wine, because this is not a business.
Yeah.
The more, I mean, for some people it can be, mm-hmm. you know, because they've been in the industry for such a long time.
Exactly.
But if you're starting
they have
off,
been for a long time and they know how to do it.
Exactly. Years, you know, many generations in the wine industry, that's possible. But for people who start off just like us, it's something that comes from the heart. It comes from just, you know, enjoying life and doing something that you really want to do and sharing it with the people who appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started the appreciation of wine, and our people are now continuing it, which is great. And they really do appreciate wine and have this enthusiasm to learn and to study. So that's where like my background comes from. And like I said, I'm trying to learn more about wines, going on trips, learning from people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I really appreciate that. Like I said, I like being able to discuss things with people.
Yeah.
And like discuss things and, you know, have like debates about, I don't know, what type of grape this is or that is or how the wine tastes and all that.
So right now you are here in LA. How often and how relaxed are you being here and knowing that you are not there supervising the In Vinos? You're smiling. How does it feel, you know, to let go? Or have you built already the system so well that, you know, you can be at any part of the world and know that your people there mm-hmm. know what they're doing?
My business partner, Vahe, is currently there. Okay. So he is also helping out a lot. But I also do trust the staff because they love wine. They're knowledgeable about it. And they're also constantly learning. But I really believe that the training that they undergo and the way that they see us working really gives them a lot of insight onto how they should be doing it. And I trust them. So I'm here. I'm relaxing. And I can't wait to go back. But I know that slowly but surely I would love to be traveling more. And so I hope that they will, you know, kind of take it upon themselves. And, you know, life goes on. So while I'm here, everything is going on there. And I'm not worried as much as I would have been maybe like 5 years ago mm-hmm. or 3 years ago, maybe.
Yeah.
Now I'm a bit more relaxed because...
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. That's good to have a peace of mind. We briefly... talked about, and I don't want to dwell too much on negative, but I want to maybe concentrate more on the positive, on what we can do. But how did the COVID and the war impact the industry? What has happened and what's happening now? Is it on the way to recovery? And what else we can do over mm-hmm. here?
So 2020, we had many issues. Of course, starting from COVID in the beginning, and people getting sick and not being able to actually work out in the vineyards. But we were taking a lot of precautions in the vineyards to make sure that everyone was okay. So that aspect was okay for us because we're a small winery. During the war, it was very difficult because a lot of the men had to go and serve in the army and fight. So the women were the people who were working. And my dad, you know, he was saying that. He was saying that it's the women who are working. He was saying that for many years, and now it happened. You know, it really happened that there was a war. People had to go. The women and children were working in the vineyards. We were going out to help them. We had a really good harvest, actually. And I think it, because in the beginning of the year, there wasn't as much emission in the air, maybe, or mm-hmm. it was just the climate was different completely. I have no idea, but we had a good harvest.
The earth was resting.
The earth was resting, exactly, from the, you know, the hustle and bustle mm-hmm. of everyday life. So that was interesting. And like I said, the consumption, it was really difficult to compete in the global market for everyone. Because, you know, there are countries like, you know, Italy, France, etc., who are out there, and people would turn to the most reliable wines. But we continued to sell our wines abroad. So that didn't really have an impact. But the local market, it mm-hmm. kind of, you know, slid down a little bit because, like I said, people like to drink wine socially.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know... if you want to support Armenian wines and you are not living in Armenia, because, of course, in my opinion, the best way to do that would be to live there, to have your opinion heard, your voice heard, to actually work the land that you want to live in. If you cannot do that for any reason, which is completely your own and everybody understands why you would choose to do otherwise, buy Armenian wine. Buy Armenian wine, support Armenian wine, because each bottle of wine goes to help the villagers who are working there and goes to help build infrastructure, goes to help, you know, those lands. And there's a really important fact here that if you do not work those lands, then they will not be yours. And right now there's a constant threat near our border because we're like 30 kilometers away from Nakhichevan and you never know what's going to happen. And it's a very, you know, sensitive subject, but I'm going back, and I'm going to go back, and I'm going to help work those lands, and I'm going to support the farmers as much as I can to continue working those lands. Because people can only go advance if you are not there to take care of that land.
Yeah.
And we have to look within ourselves.
Yeah.
We have to look within ourselves, within us as Armenians, and understand who are we and what do we want. Because it's a bit chaotic right now. To say the least. Buying Armenian products is the least that you can do to yeah. actually help people there. And not only because, you know, you're helping supporting those people, but you're also understanding this, like, that Armenian products are not that bad, you know?
They're wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't even cover or we didn't even talk about all the awards that your wines have taken mm-hmm. from the international, from the world competitions. You
yeah.
know, that is just another certification or any other validation that the wines are wonderful, mm-hmm. because it's not easy to go to a competition, wine competition in Germany, which mm-hmm. is huge, and there's so many wines, and to come out of there with gold or silver or bronze, you know, you name it.
It's exactly. It's very difficult, and we were actually the first Armenian winery to participate in the Millésime Bio French International Wine Challenge, which we won a gold medal for, and we had such a difficult time actually convincing them that Armenia was a country, Areni was a grape, mm-hmm. Vajotzor was a region. So after doing that, it just proves to you that, you know, if you put in hard work, you are going to reap the results as mm-hmm. well. So yeah.
it's amazing. You know, trying to keep emotions strong, you know, not mm-hmm. to break into tears, but it is important to be there. It is important to work the land. It's important to care for things and to take care of the things, not by just words, but also actions. So we thank you, and we thank everyone who is there and doing that. And yes, for, I always say, for every non-Armenian wine that you buy, you know, you should buy at least one bottle of Armenian wine, because just like you said, these wines keep those villagers there. It gives them job, it gives them hope, it gives them place to live, and mm-hmm. they don't want to leave. I'm sure they don't want to leave their country.
But besides that,
homes.
It's good wine, you know.
Oh, it's
you
delicious should, wine.
If it were like bad wine, and I was asking you to do this, I would not have asked. I would say, okay, buy Armenian chocolate or buy Armenian something else. It's good. It's internationally renowned and competitive.
If I didn't believe in Armenian wine, I wouldn't be the director for the Armenian Wines and Spirits Festival. You know, I believe in our product, and it's amazing. And I have so many friends, professionals, wine experts, writers, critics, sommeliers. They all come to the Guinea Fest, and they are all amazed at the quality that Armenia has to offer within such a short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
We have to say goodbye on air. I wanted to ask you if there is anything that you wanted to add before we say goodbye, and I just wanted to thank you again for taking time, sharing your story. It's so inspiring. I don't know, like I said, you know, the divine group, you know, with your family in the middle, you guys have changed the whole wine and food scene in Armenia. And I think you are the pioneers of this amazing movement that also brings attention. You know, in the recent publication was that Armenia is one of the best destinations for wine
and Forbes.
Food. In Forbes,
mm-hmm.
exactly.
Recently. You're making me blush. But one thing I can really say is that when we were doing it, we were not thinking about becoming the pioneers of anything. We were just doing honest work. And so three things that I would like to say is, first of all, have faith. And second of all, put in hard work. Because hard work is going to get you everywhere. And the third one is to look within yourself. If there's an issue, the first thing we must do is look within ourselves and understand how we can help, how we can change. And that's it.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, madam.
Thank you very much for having me.
I'm looking forward to the event at the stage, and it would be sad to say goodbye when you leave, but I'll be visiting, and I'm sure you'll be coming back. So thank you, and have a safe
trip. Definitely. Thank you very much.